Thanks for checking out Church on the Rock's message this week. We would love to help you take your next step in knowing God better. The best way to do that is visit cotr.org/next steps. Or if you're not near our physical campus, visit our online community at cotr.org/online. Enjoy the message and know that God is for you.
You got your Bible? Hold it up. Let's get in the Word today. Brand new series called Legacy. Can you say it with me? Legacy. This is my Bible. I am what it says that I am. I can do what it says I can do. I can have what it says I can have. Today, I will be taught the uncompromised Word of God. My mind's alert. My heart's receptive. I'll not leave the same as I came, in Jesus' name. And every time I come to Church on the Rock, my life and my faith get stronger and stronger. Let's thank God for the Word today, for the Word today. Amen. Well, let's open our Bible, go to the New Testament, to the book of James. The book of James, chapter 4. And as you know, that we're in the season called Legacy at Church on the Rock. Every year at the end of the year, we enter what we call Legacy, where we pray about what would God have us to do extra as we end the year strong and go into a brand new year, starting out the right way. Praying about what God would have us to do extra with our time, talent, and treasure. So along with that, I want to start talking about now until the end of the year, probably, about legacy. Legacy, let's define it. Legacy is something you leave behind. I looked it up in Webster, and it says something that you leave behind. A legacy is something that you leave behind. A legacy is what people say about you after you're gone. A legacy is what people say about you after you're gone. Legacy is something you hand down. Legacy is something that you leave. Legacy is what people say after we're dead and gone. Legacy. In the Bible, you won't see the word legacy, but you will see the synonym for legacy. It's heritage. We see that in the Bible, heritage. Also, not only heritage, but another synonym for legacy is inheritance. Legacy, inheritance, heritage. Those words, inheritance and heritage, are in the Bible. The Bible has a whole lot to say about passing down to the next generation, doesn't it? Handing down, passing down. What one generation says of another generation. Legacy is important to God. It should be important to us. Listen very carefully. Legacy is more than just leaving something for someone. Legacy really is more about what you leave in someone. You know, many of you heard this story about my father when he passed away. You know, he didn't have anything in the bank. There was no money. He left me nothing. But my mom said when they put him in the casket, she goes, "You want the wedding ring? I wear my dad's wedding ring." That's all he left me. That's all he left for me. But what he left in me is greater than what he left for me. You know, we should leave something for the next generation, for our children, our grandchildren, those that we love, those that we influence. We should leave something for them. But greater than that, what are you leaving in them? Character, inside. What are we leaving in them? That's huge. So we want to talk about a legacy and how important it is. You can have a negative legacy or you can have a positive legacy, right? Good things can be said about us after we're gone, or bad things can be said after we're gone. A legacy. Jonathan Edwards. I don't know. How many ever heard of Jonathan Edwards? He was a Puritan. He was in a colonial in the 1700s. He was a famous preacher, Jonathan Edwards. He was a part of the Great Awakening in the 1700s when the Pilgrims came to the United States. And he and his wife had 11 children. They had 11 children. And somebody chased down his legacy of what some of his children ended up doing. And it says that 1,400 of their descendants out of that 100 became lawyers. 80 became public office. 66 became medical doctors. 65 professors in a university, their descendants, Jonathan Sarah Edwards. 30 became judges. 13 became college presidents. 3 became mayor of large cities. 3 became state governors. 3 became U.S. senators. 1 became vice president of the United States. And 1 over the Treasury Department of the United States. What a legacy. What kind of a legacy are you going to leave? What kind of legacy am I going to leave? Are we doing what Daniel wrote in his song? Are we wasting our life going our own way, doing our own thing? I was, you know, at 21 years old, Kim and I, we had been married, a beautiful wife, brand new Corvette, brand new Kawasaki 900 Z1, going to build a new house, getting a lot out in the country, working at a grocery chain like Deerberg's, it's called Hy-Vee, in management, making really good money, doing really well, but I was going my own way. I was doing my own thing. I'm so glad at 21 that I made that decision so that at 69, I wouldn't look back and say I wasted my life. I'm so glad. You know, it's never too young to think about the end. Please, if you don't get anything out of this series, it's never too late. It's never too early to think about your end. Stephen Covey talked about the principle, you know, beginning with the end in mind. Beginning with the end in mind. Having a future focus. People with a future focus become a strategist. I told you a couple weeks ago, strategy always outtrumps strength. Think about different armies, military engagements. Think about the times that smaller armies won over larger armies. How do they do that? Strategy over strength. People who begin to think about the end from the beginning, people who are thinking of their future, people who are thinking not only of this life, but the afterlife, people who want a great life and a great afterlife. People who want a great life and a great afterlife, those people become strategists. You begin to strategize your life. You're not going to waste your life going your own way, doing your own thing. So we're talking about legacy. We're talking about what are you going to leave behind? Not only for others, but in others. What's the mark you're going to leave? Are you investing your life or are you wasting your life? It's never too early. I don't care if you're 15, 12, or 19. That's not too early to be thinking about death and the next life. And what are you going to do with this life? I know when I was 15, I thought it'd be forever. When I got 20, I thought it'd be forever. When I got 25, and now the years just fly by. You know what I'm talking about? I'm so glad I can look back now. To God be the glory. I'm so glad that I can look back now. And I think it was the prayers of my parents and my grandparents. I can look back now at 21. I'm so glad on that Sunday morning, I went forward and I said, God, I'm not happy. I'm empty, doing my own thing. It's not fulfilling. I've tried sex, salary, and status. It's not doing it for me. God, I need you. I want your will. See, legacy is this. I'm going to give you what I'm going to talk about at the beginning. Then I'm going to talk about it all month. Then I'm going to remind you what I talked about. Legacy is following Christ and fulfilling his call for your life and finishing it. That's the legacy you and I want to have. It's discovering our gift and serving God with it. That's the legacy you and I want to have. Discovering our gift and serving God with it. Following Christ, finding out what we've been given and give it back to him and serve him and answer the call on our life, all of our life. If I want a great life, that's what's going to have to happen. If I want a great afterlife, that's what's going to have to happen. So let's look at a few scriptures, and then can I give you some takeaways today? So James chapter 4, let's look at James chapter 4. Guys, if we could put it up there, verse 10. James 4, verse 10. Humble yourselves, feeling very insignificant in the presence of the Lord, and he will exalt you, and he, God, will lift you up, And he will make your life, what? I can't hear you. Significant. Everybody is looking for significance. Everybody is looking for meaning. Everybody wants to know, you know, Mark Twain said the two most important days of your life is the day you're born and the day you find out why you're here. The day you're born and the day you find out, why am I here? Notice that when we humble ourselves, that simply means when we give our life to God, we're going to find it. When we lose our life for God, we find it. When we surrender and we humble ourselves, like I did at 21 in 1975, ran to the altar in October, said, God, I've had sex, salary, and status. It ain't doing it for me. God, I thought this is what I wanted. This is my ambition. This is my aspiration. And I've got it, and it's empty. God, I want your will. I ran to the altar. I knelt at the altar. I said, God, not my way, but your way. It's never too young to think about death and the hereafter. You know, right now, Google it, and I'm not exaggerating, just Google it. Because of COVID, there are more deaths because of overdose, and 1 out of 5 deaths right now are attributed to alcohol. You just Google it. The world is in a greater mess than ever before because of COVID. People are lost, and they're dying, they're sighing, they're crying, and that's not God's will for your life or for my life. He wants to make your life significant. He wants to give you meaning. He wants to give you and show you the value and why you're here and what you're to do with your life. Next verse, guys, James 4, verse 13. Come now, you who say, today or tomorrow, we will go into such and such city, we'll spend a year there, we'll carry on our business, and we're going to make some money. Marketplace ministry. Next verse. Yet you do not know the least thing about what may happen tomorrow. Whoa. You know, they tell us that, I don't know where they get this number. Google it. I did. This is where you get it. 160,000 people die every day. 160,000 people die every day on an average in the world. 160,000 people on an average pass from this life to the next life. I wonder how many are prepared. I wonder how many were ready. I wonder how many wasted their life or invested their life. I wonder what legacy will be, positive or negative. You know, how many people, just think about this, just think about your age. If you're in your 30s, how many 30-year-olds are dying today? According to Google, a lot, overdose on drugs and alcohol. Actually, it's more in their 40s. Did you know that? That the age that more people are committing suicide is in their 40s. How many 40-year-olds are dying today? I'm thinking of my own life. How many of those in their 60s are dying today? You know, we need to be thankful we have another day and make this day count and not really know what tomorrow holds. He said, you're planning. He said, you're planning. But he said, you don't know the least thing about what may happen tomorrow. What is the nature of your life? You are really but a wisp of vapor, a puff of smoke, a mist. That's how God sees our life. 70, 80, 90 years. And compared to eternity, it's a puff of smoke. It's a mist. It's a vapor. It's here and it's gone, just like that. You know, we have the smog machine back here, and I'm watching it, and it goes out, and it's here for a while, and it's gone. Just like our life, according to the Bible. Life is short. I got to make my life count. Legacy. What are they going to say about you and me after we're gone? What kind of a mark are we going to leave? What are we going to leave for people, but greater than that, in your children, in your grandchildren, in those you work with? What kind of impact in their character? Yet you don't know the least thing about what may happen tomorrow. What's the nature of your life? You are really but a wisp of vapor, a puff, a smoke, a mist that's visible for a little while. If I want a great life here and a great afterlife, I've got to concentrate on legacy, on making a difference, of not wasting my life but investing my life and not living my life for me, but living my life for God, right? Is visible for a little while, and then it disappears into thin air. Verse 15, you ought instead to say, If the Lord is willing, if the Lord is willing, what should be our focus? God's will. Not our will, what we're going to do with our life, but what does God want us to do with our life? We shall live and we shall do this or that thing. You know, I think of my brother, and many of you heard the story. My brother, in his early 20s, he came back from Morocco. He was in the intelligence and the Navy, couldn't tell us anything that he did while he was in the service, couldn't tell us anything. Got out of the Navy, came home. He was cleaning his fireplace, hit his head on the top of the roof of the basement, activated a brain tumor, and 1 week he was dead. My brother, when we all came to Christ, he didn't. You know, we all went to church when I was 11. He was 5 years older than me. My sister, 4 years older than me. Everybody in the family gave their heart to Christ but my brother. And my brother said, I don't want church. I don't want Christianity. They're a bunch of people that don't have any fun. I want to live my own life. So he did. He lived his own life, never went to church, had no room for God, had no room for God's word, had no room for Christianity. And then when he hit his head on that pipe, they had to take him to the hospital. When he was going into surgery, our pastor went and visited him. He's on the bed. They're getting ready to take him down to surgery. And right there, he gives his heart to Christ. Okay? Now watch this. I'm so thankful that my pastor was led by the Holy Spirit. I'm so thankful he got there just in time, because when Rick, that's my brother, went into surgery, brain surgery, he never came out. He died. Okay, now think about this. He got born again on his deathbed, but he has no rewards in heaven. He wasted his life. He didn't invest his life. He went, what Daniel's song was talking about, he went his own way, did his own thing. Had no time for God, no time for anything to do with God or Christianity or Christians, and he wasted his life. Yes, on his deathbed, he's in heaven, but he doesn't really going to have a great afterlife. I mean, it's going to be better than hell, but he's not going to have any rewards. None. Because he got saved on his deathbed. No good works to get rewards for. I'm thankful he's in heaven. I'm thankful he's born again. But there's a great story and illustration about somebody who wasted their life. Don't wait for a deathbed experience. Don't count on that, okay? You ought to instead say, if the Lord is willing, God's will, we'll shall live and we'll do this or that thing. Next, guys, next slide. Number one, what do we learn from these three passages? Number one, life is short. Don't waste it. Life is short. I don't care if you're 70, 80, or 90. Life is short. We had a couple of people, an elderly couple that called up and wanted seats, tickets, and we had two extra tickets. They were in their 80s. And they came to the concert the other night. How cool is that, right? But even if you're in your 80s, life's still short compared to eternity, okay? It's never too early to think about death, the afterlife, and what are you going to do with your life now? Because it's like a vapor. It's going to go quick. It's short. Don't waste it. Number two, what do we learn? God sees time differently. God sees time differently. We think 70, 80, 90 years is such a long time. God says it's just a vapor. Didn't he say 1,000 years with us is as a day with him? Did you know that? 1,000 years with us is a day with the Lord. So in God's timing, since the crucifixion or resurrection, it's only been 2 days. It's only been 2 days. Number three, do his will. Life is short. God sees time differently, has a different perspective on time. Number three, we are to do his will. Legacy, a positive legacy, a legacy that will count, a legacy that will make a difference, not only for people, but in people. How does that happen? By doing his will. Not our will, but his will. Not our plan, but his plan. Okay, next, guys. Number four, never too early or young to think about death and your legacy. Stephen Covey, in his famous book, said you should always live with the end in mind at the beginning. Make your life count. Think about death, the afterlife. What kind of legacy, what kind of life are you going to be known for? How will they talk about you? at the dinner after your funeral when they say, pass the potato salad, pass the baked beans, what are they going to say about you and me? Never too early or young to think about death and your legacy. Next, guys, be ready to go. Five things we learn from these three scriptures. Be ready, live ready, don't take a chance, especially today, as violent and crazy as it is out there. Be ready to go. Your life is like a vapor. 160,000 people plus on an average are dying every day. Thank God we have another day to make this day count. Not waste it on ourselves, but invest it in advancing the kingdom of God and those around us. Amen? All right? So next, we're talking about living a life of impact. Takeaways. Number one, get a vision for your life. If I want to leave a legacy that will count, that will matter, that will be positive, don't want to waste my life, number one, get a vision for your life. Whew. Number two, or the scripture for that, Proverbs 29:18. Where there is no vision, the people perish. But he that keepeth the law, happy is that person. People with a vision are more happier than those without a vision. What is a vision? It's a purpose. What do we do at Church on the Rock? What do we do here? We lead people to a God who's for them, but also we help them discover his purpose or his will or his calling for their life. Where there is no vision, the people will perish, but he that keepeth the law, happy is that person. 1 Chronicles chapter 4 and verse 9. You ever heard of the prayer of Jabez? The prayer of Jabez? Here we have in 1 Chronicles 4, 9 and 10. Jabez, his name means to suffer and to bear pain. Would you like to have a name like that? The names in the Bible are significant of people's character and their personality. His mother had such pain in delivering him, she called him Jabez, which means pain. But I want you to see something. Let's pull some learning truths from this. Let's extract some things. He never let his name limit him. He never let the color of his skin limit him. He never let what his parents called him limit him. Come on, somebody. He didn't live the life as a victim. He didn't live his life feeling sorry for himself. So many people after COVID are feeling sorry for themselves. They have an entitlement mindset. Jabez could have, but didn't. He had a vision. He had a vision. He had a dream. He had a purpose. And Jabez was more honorable than all of his brethren. And his mother called him Jabez, saying, because I bear him, gave birth to him with sorrow and with pain. Don't let what the world has named you limit you. Don't let what the doctor, the lawyer, the judge, the parent, the sibling, the peer, what they've named you, limit or restrict you or use it as an excuse for wasting your life. Next verse, verse 10. And Jabez, what did he do? He called on the God of Israel. Jabez called on God of Israel, saying, oh, that you would bless me. So number one, he asked God to bless him. You with me, everybody? He asked God to bless him. He could have stayed down. He could have stayed depressed. He could have stayed dejected. He could have made excuses. He could have blamed his parents. He could have blamed his name. He could have blamed his heritage. He could have blamed his background. He could have blamed the world. He could have used excuses, but he rose above it. He rose above it. He had a vision. He realized he had a purpose. He realized he was bigger than what the world had named him and called. Folks, we've all been called names. Come on now. We've all been called names. We've all been made fun of. We've all been looked down on. You've heard my story. My own father, who was my best friend, said, Dave, you'll never make it in the ministry. Don't go into the ministry. My pastor told Kim and I, Kim and Dave, you'll never make it in the ministry. Don't go into the ministry. We've all had people not believe in us, curse us, call us names, make fun of us. It's happened to all of us. But I'm telling you, if you call on the Lord, That'll make the difference. If you run to God, if you get closer, and he says, would you bless me, please, indeed? Number two, enlarge my coast. Not only, number one, did he pray for blessing of the Lord. Number two, he asked for increase. Enlarge. Enlarge. Are you asking God to bless you today and everything that your hand would touch? Are you asking God to increase your life, to bring increase and abundance in your thinking? It starts in your thinking first. You got to think big. The magic of thinking big. Am I helping anybody today? So number one, he said, God bless me. Even when man won't, God, you will. And then he said, God, increase me. Increase me. And then number three, he prayed that your hand might be with me. What is that? Fellowship and power. The hand of God is always his power through fellowship. So he's saying, God, I'm not going to make excuses. I'm not going to feel sorry for myself. I'm not going to live with entitlement. I'm not going to be angry. I'm not going to be mad. God, I'm going to run to you. I'm going to turn to you. And I'm going to ask you, God, bless me. God, give me a vision. God, show me my purpose. God, I'm not a mistake. My family thinks I'm a mistake. They call me pain to be with and be around. But I'm not a mistake, God. God, bless me. And then, God, increase me. And then, God, I want to fellowship with you. I want to see your power in my life. And then he says, God, keep me from evil. Protect me. Four things he prays for. Protect me, God. God, protect me with your anointing. Protect me with your covering. Let your anointing cover my house and my life. So, number one, I forgot. He prayed for God to bless him. Number two, for God to increase him. Number three, for God to have fellowship and see his power. And number four, for God to protect him with the anointing. Oh, and then look at this. And that it may not grieve me. Number five, he prayed that he wouldn't live in sorrow. How many people are grieving today? Sorrowful today? Sad today? Angry today? Blaming white people, black people, brown people, old people, the Democrats, the Republicans, my neighbor, the cat, the dog, the hamster, who I work for. Oh, look, he says, I don't want to live a life of grief. I don't want to live a life with a victim mentality. I don't want to live a life of feeling sorry for myself. That's what he's praying. He said, I don't want to grieve anymore. You can't live in grief and have a great life. You can't live in grief and sorrow and feeling sorry for yourself all the time and have a great life. Amen, somebody? Thank God for a great life, an abundant life, now and in the afterlife. Come on, let's thank God for a great life. Let's thank God for a great life. Hallelujah. And then number two, I got to get the vision from God. I got to get it from God. Everybody and their dog told me things I should do. And then when I told them what God called me to do, most everybody told me I could never do it. You want to get a vision for your life, and then you want to make sure you get it from God, not man. You want to get it from God because you want it to be a God idea and not a good idea. A God idea and not a good idea. Number three, it gives direction for your life. When you get a vision for your life, it gives direction for your life. People without direction are just frustrated, confused, angry, complacent, procrastinating, dissatisfied with everything. We're talking about legacy, which is following Christ and finding his call, finding his purpose for your life, and following it and finishing it. That's legacy. That we're not only going to leave some stuff for people, but we're going to leave some stuff in people. I like it. It gives direction for your life. And then number four, it will create a significant life, a vision. It will create a significant life. It will help you and it will help others. Number five, it will give you a destiny. Destiny is destination. People who think in the future become strategists. You begin to think, I need to do this every day. I need to have these habits. I need to have this routine. I need to have these relationships. I need to read these books. I need to take those classes. I need to keep improving. I need to keep raising the standard in my life. Oh, yeah, it will give you a destiny. It will give you something to fight for, faith for, believe for, dream for. Wow, legacy. People who have a destiny and live with a purpose leave a legacy that's positive. Next, number six, follow Christ. This is all a part of the components of legacy that's positive, a legacy that outlasts us, a legacy that's a positive good. They talk good after you're gone about you. Is to follow Christ and fulfill His call for your life. That's legacy. Not somebody else's call on your life, but His call for your life. And number seven, you live with the end in mind. You live with the end in mind. You realize that life is short, and you think about death and how you want to exit and how you want to die. You want to die strong. You want to finish well. You want God to say, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant." This is legacy. Every day counts. Everything you do counts. Every thought counts. Every habit counts. You live as the team comes out. You live with the end in mind. You leave a legacy that will advance others. You leave with a legacy that will advance others. Oh, I like it. And the kingdom of God. And the kingdom of God. So in closing, what kind of legacy are you going to leave? What are they going to say about you and me after we're gone? What are we not only going to leave for our loved ones and friends, but what are we going to leave in them? It's important that we begin to be very serious about death and the hereafter. This life is so short. It's so important that we see our life as important and that we have a purpose. You can call it vision. You can call it a call. You can call it an assignment. You can call it whatever you want to, but you need to know what it is. I'm so glad. I give God all the glory. It was God. It wasn't me. I'm so glad at 21, I got up and went to church that morning, and I said, "God, sex, status, salary, I've had it, got it. It ain't doing it for me. God, there's something else you want me to do with my life. There's something else that will bring satisfaction, significance, fulfillment in my life. I want to know what that is." So it all starts with what? Asking God, surrendering to God. "God, I want to know. God, why am I here? God, what am I to do? God, where am I to go? Who am I to be with? What should be my habits? What should be my routine? What should I be saying over my life, family, and future?" These are questions we all should be asking ourselves as we talk about a legacy that will outlast us. Amen? I'm done. Did you get something today? Come on, let's thank God for the word. Let's thank God for the word. Amen. Would you stand with me, please, and close your Bibles and should put things away. As our host comes today, I just want to ask you here and online, if you don't have a relationship with God today, maybe everybody has said your life is cursed and you're a pain and you won't amount to anything, and like Jabez. But when you call on God like Jabez did, everything changes. As you get closer to Him, as Daniel's song said, everything changes. Everything changes. With one prayer, everything can change. If you've never given your life to God, pray today with our prayer team and those online. If you need to be filled with the Spirit, we're here to help you with that. A small group, we're just here to help you today, because I want all of us to make a difference with our life. I want all of us, none of us, to waste our life. Listen to people who don't believe in you. I want you to listen to God who created you, who called you for a purpose. To leave a legacy. Amen, everybody? Okay, as our host comes, can we thank God one more time for His goodness?
What is your next step in your faith? Well, here at Church on the Rock, we would love to help you. Maybe it's to learn more about discovering what it means to belong to a church family, being part of a small group, or using your God-given gifts to serve others. Head over to cotr.org/next steps, where you can find out more to all of these. Or if you're part of our online community, visit us at cotr.org/online. Have a great week, and don't forget that God is for you.